Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just like Stuart Lancaster's centre options, we are back up to full strength and first choice team on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. So hit it, Jay. It is Thursday, the 1st of October, and we are recording this from the Rugby Dungeon, the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, available on iTunes. You can get it on the Acast app as well. And thank you very much for listening. I'm Tim. JB, hello. Didn't say good morning then.
Gumbo. Good day, Tim.
Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Phil, back from the Omani Desert. How was it?
It was good. It was very good. It was different to anywhere I've been before. But good. Interesting to go there. Watching the Wales-England game, 200 miles from the capital, literally in the Omani Desert.
How did you manage? They got blanket Wi-Fi then?
They had like a little recreation hut. Where they had a huge satellite dish and they picked up basically every channel in the world, pretty much. We're watching on, I think, South Africa's Super Sport.
South Africa's Super Sport is an excellent channel, by the way.
Yeah,
when I went over to South Africa, obviously, for the Lions, they have it on constantly and it's constantly rugby. It's brilliant. And if you think that the rugby coverage over here is savage, try South Africa. Absolute snake pit. There was one which was criticising Ricky January for not catching a highball. And it followed up by saying, if it was a KFC family bucket, not only would he have caught it, he would have swallowed it whole. Right. Savage.
So we've watched Wales-Fiji earlier today. Currently, it's the last 10 minutes, I think, of France-Canada, which has been another exciting game. This is, and I called it on the first weekend, this is the best Rugby World Cup ever.
Absolutely agreed. Absolutely agreed.
I think we've got close to enough data to actually officially say that now, Tim.
The Tier 2 nations are standing up and giving a brilliant account of themselves.
Do you know what, though? There is one team which is an absolute embarrassment. Absolute embarrassment. Italy, right?
Yeah.
Over 10 years of first-class rugby experience now, Heineken Cup, we couldn't do more to make them into a better team. And yet, they're still rubbish. I think that we bin them off and we bring in Georgia or we bring in Romania.
Well, or
someone who deserves it and actually wants to be there.
Or World Rugby, listen to our calls for a worldwide competition for a second tier of the Six Nations with a promotion relegation element.
That's not my call.
You love to talk about the population of Wales.
Yes.
Like, get your violin out and say how well you do against the odds. The team that we're playing in the Millennium Stadium today, defying the odds, frankly, because a population so small, and they are...
I know, and to beat an island nation whose number one sport is rugby, it's an achievement. It's a real achievement.
Very good, Jay. Very good. I just think Fiji have come on so much, and they're a proper team.
Have they?
And
Well,
absolutely. I feel really sorry for them in that pool because...
Well, I think that's rather patronising, Tim, because last time they met Wales, they actually beat them and they qualified from the group.
No, they've given three top international teams a really, really good run for their money. And no longer are they just relying on incredible footwork and breakaway tries, although they do that as well. They've now got a proper set piece. They look like a proper rugby team.
Well, yeah, I'll give you credit there because the scrum was spot on. There's one line out that they threw. Back ball on their own 5 metre. Cheers, have that all day long. They look very impressive, and yet they still do the offloading stuff.
They I was a bit frustrated today because they threw too many 50-50 offloads that didn't go to hand. The one that did was spectacular, but they had three or four other opportunities where they broke in the first line of defence, they got support with them, and they try a speculative offload, and it doesn't go to hand, and they would have been better holding on, let the cavalry arrive, set up, and you've gained 40, 50 yards, you're in the Welsh 22, and you can play from there.
I get it. It'd be nice only to throw offloads that go to hand. But that's incredibly hard. And the beauty of their game is they just go out and play. Now, I did love the strategy they employed, because no one would have guessed. We're going to spend the first 5 minutes just offloading behind our own try line. And then after that, we'll play a controlled kicking game. I don't know.
On the other side of the ball, are you a bit concerned about this Wales defence, which was the bedrock of what made this team? I just wonder whether when you get one of the really good attacking teams facing Wales...
Yeah, I'm terrified. Absolutely terrified.
They're not going to get cut to ribbons a bit.
And this is the farce of the Stuart Lancaster selection, which is...
Who had 4 minutes on the podcast before Stuart Lancaster baiting began?
This is the farce.
We're talking about his team playing as well, and he still manages to talk about Stuart Lancaster.
Well,
go on.
Wales don't score many, okay? So they rely on this ferocious defence. Now, we've not got many players left fit. I mean, we're currently, conscribing every man, woman and child of rugby playing age, just in case Tyler Morgan goes down, who apparently played today, not that I saw him.
Can someone please send a violin for the next podcast?
A tiny violin,
to go
please.
Along with Jay.
This team may well qualify. The Welsh team may well qualify. But you are right, their defence isn't what it normally is.
Their intensity that they bring is ferocious.
It is.
They matched Fiji in terms of ferociousness today, I thought.
Which was especially impressive considering they had a 5-day turnaround.
Yeah.
Some of those players looked out on their feet after 45 minutes.
Yeah, they really did.
I really worried for Wales, but was slightly optimistic for Fiji at that time, because Fiji had 15 minutes where they were dominant, where they scored that superb try just after half-time, but then Fiji themselves started to tire.
Yeah.
If Fiji had the depth and the fitness that some of the bigger teams do, and they'd have been able to keep that performance going to 80 minutes, then Wales really would have been on the ropes.
But then just evidence by how far they've come, and like exactly what you're saying with the fitness.
Oh.
Manasseh, what was happening in the France-Canada game?
Someone's called a forward pass against Canada. I say for someone, it's the referee.
Forward pass, Jay. Interrupted the podcast.
Let the boys play. Thank you. And it was massively forward.
Manasseh Saulo plays in Romania for Bucharesti. And only a few months ago, before he got a visa, he was farming on a sugar plantation, and he absolutely pumped Gethin Jenkins day long.
Don't forget, this is the same man that also won two scrums against the head against England. So, he's a legitimately good player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's fantastic. I mean, just good on your Fiji, I think. They went back. They went back more so in this game than... In their previous two, they went back to the Fijian style.
That's good, isn't it? I mean, we should all have our own style, it's good. I like it.
What's the Welsh style? Just one-up bash.
The Welsh style, just implode and be miserable. Be miserable until you actually do something.
Alex Cuthbert's a bit of a shambles, though, isn't he?
Explain your thinking, because I do agree with this, but I'm wondering if we're coming from the same point of view.
He just looks a bit brainless a lot of the time.
Well, he's another one of these, which is probably... He's kind of like Pierre Spies in some ways. And when I say like Pierre Spies...
Yeah, I was going to say he's...
He's too talented to be any good, really.
Look great with his top off?
Not so much, but he's a hell of an athlete. And I sometimes think that because he is such a good athlete, he doesn't tend to work on the rest of his game. And that's why you've got the Alex Cuthbert, which you have now, who, by the way, is still like... A Lions tourist and test winger, but he's still not the player that he could be.
Would not be making a Lions tour if it was picked tomorrow.
No way.
No, but he did.
No chance.
2 years ago.
He did.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, do you know we've got a bit of a strength of depth issue in Wales? I heard some devastating news today.
Go on.
Well, we could do with another flanker, right?
Well, that's one of the places that you do have good depth.
But we could
You could always do with another flanker.
Well, did you know Sam Warburton's a twin?
I did know.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know this. I only found this out today. Sam Warburton's a twin, right? And this twin, instead of deciding to become the second best flanker the world's ever known, and maybe a Welsh vice captain, has decided to be a physio for the Newport Gwent Dragons. It's not the best use of our talent. Two Sam Warburtons, I'd take that. So I'm a bit angry about it. I'm not as angry as I was when I heard that George North's brother has decided to go to medical school and not take it professional rugby.
Every time Dan Bigger shapes up to kick, we talked about it last podcast, but every time he shapes up to kick, I just start going, Shamal! The telly. Just looks like you should have Beat It by Michael Jackson on. It's ridiculous.
He is playing up to this now, isn't he?
I don't know, but the one thing I'm thinking is, if Wales do really, really well, and maybe this is the stuff of legend and gets played 50 years from now on, you know, the equivalent, like we look back at black and white pictures of the JPR and Gareth Edwards and all the rest of it. What if people look back at Dan Bigger? He's just ruining his future legacy.
I've never seen JPR or Gareth Edwards play ever in my life. Never seen them.
You've never seen that Barbarian
try.
Surely you must have seen the one Barbarian try.
But it's going to be hard to judge a player's body of work by the one Barbarian try, isn't it?
But this is what I mean. Dan Bigger's whole body of work could just be judged by a ridiculous routine.
Whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
12 from 12.
He's amazing.
His kicking is superb, but his all-round game has been absolutely superb. His defence is excellent. His distribution's good. His decision-making has been good.
Yeah, well, someone pointed out on Twitter today how foolish you two were to put him in, to not put him in the joint England-Wales team before the game.
Oh, right? Yeah, but then...
Hear me now, believe me later.
Would that same person have done that before the England game?
Well, I did it.
Yeah, and you just liked to bring up... this is where you flip-flop around with the way... You pick whatever angle...
I still be calling for Miles Benjamin on the England wing. If I was a flip-flopper...
No. You pick whatever bit of... data suits the argument you have at hand. So, a moment ago, you were going on about Alex Cuthbert-Worley was a Lions tourist. Owen Farrell was the number two fly half behind Johnny Sexton.
And he was this isn't something I've said.
Owen Farrell was also nominated for the World Rugby Player of the Year that year.
Sam, this is nothing I've said. I've not said anything.
No, you brought up the Lions in relation to Alex Cuthbert. I'll move on. I think what we did learn about Fiji, this is something we touched on a minute ago and we've said again, just think how good they would be if Australia, New Zealand, England, France, Wales, Ireland, Scotland went and played away games there and did what we should do as our obligation as World Rugby Nations to try and develop the game as much as possible. And if we stop nicking their players, obviously that'd help.
Yeah, stop nicking their players would be helpful. I'm not sure, actually, you're right on that. But that's the reason I say that is I just don't really see the benefit of going touring there. If the population already plays a lot of rugby, it's not going to get more popular. And I think, ILB or World Rugby
chucking them a bit of television money wouldn't enable them to develop their players even more.
Well, that's a completely different matter. By all means, do that. But actually, I think you're probably better off taking your tours to more populous nations and trying to spread the game around there, is my opinion. Because it's never going to die in Fiji, is it?
It won't die, but the money that they can use... So the All Blacks played in Samoa this year.
Yeah.
And that money will generate training facilities from grassroots up. So lads who are coming through at 10 years old will have better pitches, better facilities.
Yeah, it's easy to take for granted what they managed to achieve. But there's that film, Pacific something Warriors.
Yeah,
or something.
Pacific Warriors.
Yeah, and that highlights just what they managed to do against all the odds. Now, I just say it's an obligation. And how much better is this World Cup with just a little bit of investment that World Rugby have put in to help with coaching?
I actually think that World Rugby would be better off doing something like funding Georgia to go or something. I mean, the money's there. I'm just saying with the big teams, it's probably better to go to more populous nations if you want to truly grow the game and make it an international sport.
I hear what you're saying. Phil, you were obviously in the Omani Desert for Wales, England. Let's give you your
right reply
on that.
What's rugby scene like there?
There's a few expats who follow a bit of rugby, but pretty limited out there.
Okay.
I listened to the pod when I was out there. Very good. Good to hear friend of the pod, Bryn Williams.
Yeah.
Always insightful. I thought you covered it pretty well. The one thing I've been thinking over and over again about the decision at the end of Rob Shaw, 3 minutes to go, do you kick for the corner, do you kick at sticks? I didn't hate the decision to kick for the corner, but I hated the fact that he went for a two ball and made it very easy for Wales to defend. Because for two reasons. One, Wales on their own line are not going to throw a man up. They're not going to compete in the air. So you can throw it wherever you want and you will, 99%, as long as you throw it straight and high enough, you'll get the ball.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'd suggest back ball. for the fact that they got pushed into touch, you want to be as far away from the touchline as you can, and also you want to be as close to the posts, because if you set that driving maul up close to the posts, you're either going to score over the line or Wales are going to give away a penalty. And a penalty 15 yards in from the sticks is a lot easier to kick than a penalty 5 yards out. So I didn't hate the decision to go for the corner, but I hated going for a two ball. It didn't make sense. You know, whoever made that call to go for a two ball.
I assume it must be Jeff Pauling.
You go back a few weeks, and this is what me and Phil were saying. The one concern we have over England, there's no doubt they've got the talent, but there's not a lot of experience there, and are the leaders going to step up? And it's those type of positions where actually you get squeaky bum time and you make the right call or the wrong call. And I think what's maybe being shown up is the inexperience of the England team.
Yeah. Jeff Pauling's 31. He's one of the best line-out operators in the world, allegedly. He's got more than a few caps. He's a Lion. There's no inexperience there. It's either a mistake or he's chosen that option based on...
Well, we're saying it's a mistake. You know.
Okay.
We've seen Wales today and they beat Fiji as we imagined that they would do without the bonus point, which again...
Massive.
This is what I look at. We'd have been sat top.
I was just looking at some probability scenarios before, and I was looking at what would the probability of the kick at goal have to be in order to make it the right decision. So, for example, if it's a 20% chance of getting the kick at goal, you'd say you go for the corner.
Yeah.
And so just throw in some probabilities about...
I love having a quantity surveyor.
Are you just throwing them out? Banding them around?
Well, just throwing them about and then weighting them based on the impact it would have on the group. So I reckon... Kick for the corner from that position, 99% of the time you'll get it. Maybe not 5 metres out, but you might get 7 metres out. You'll get the corner. The line out, given that Wales weren't competing, you should be hitting that 95% of the time. And then from the catch and drive, assuming you go for the back, I reckon it should result in 20% of the time either a try, mm-hmm. which would give England a 6-point swing in the group, or a penalty, which would give England a 3-point swing in the group. By 3 points, I mean Wales lose 2, England game 1.
I'd recommend getting a pen and paper out and just make notes on what Phil's saying if you want to keep up. This is brilliant. I'm loving it.
So the weighted expected return of that decision...
1 in 5 of a try, basically. Is that what you're saying?
1 in 5 of a try from that, yeah, given that you're 5 metres out. But the weighted return of that would give you 1.57 points in the group. Whereas the kick at goal, if you say it's 75%, would give you... 2.25 point return points in the group stages. The chance of getting that kick would have to drop to 50%, in my opinion, in order to make that actually make the kick to the corner actually the better decision. And given the way that Owen Farrell was kicking,
yeah.
I think it was better than 50% chance of getting it.
Exactly.
Therefore, it was on probability the wrong decision. And if you look at the defence from Wales,
I'm loving this.
And you drop the percent of getting a try to say 10%, 1 in 10,
love it.
Then you'd have to be on like a 25% chance of getting the kick. So it makes it look. It does make it look
Jay,
a bad decision.
Can you just applaud Phil? That's a commitment to working out an issue. I absolutely love it.
Time weighted return, nice.
thanks. So how do you see Paul A panning out, Phil? We've got England, Australia this coming weekend. You're going to be at Twickenham to watch it and report for Canterbury.
I am. I'm
representing the podcast.
Very much looking forward to it. I'm very excited about that. I'm not particularly optimistic, though, for England.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that having Morgan back and having JJ back will have a big impact, assuming they're both 100% fit, which you have to trust that they are. But it's a 3-point game either way, and I'd find it very difficult to call it.
As much as I will be backing England, I can't see it, you know. I mean, I think, ironically, the bonus point missed by Wales today will be their biggest boost, because they think, I feel now that they're in it. We get that bonus point today and this thing is over. It doesn't really matter.
Well, no, now it's dead simple for England.
They've got to win.
What, it's knockout rugby starts here.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. And it remains, England win 5 games, they win the World Cup. Which is very simple to say, but it's the same for everyone.
Do the time-weighted return on that, Phil.
This
probability.
Not great.
I don't know if I'm being ignorant or I'm being over-optimistic, but I feel good about it. I was at Twickenham for England-Australia this time last year.
Yes, you were.
And we absolutely blew them away. And I know Australia have come a long way with Michael Checker.
Yep.
I know they're a different team, but...
Amazing, isn't it, how Michael Checker only took less than a year to change the culture of the Australian team, but it's taken Stuart Lancaster 4 years. Just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I feel...
Pocock at eight?
Yeah, I know. I love Pocock. That would be the one thing, is if England do lose, then I'm just glad David Pocock's still in the World Cup, because he's a environmentalist.
Is that what you mean? Mentalist.
He's an environmental campaigner.
He's come up with the best excuse not to marry his girlfriend of any man I've ever heard. And he said he will not marry his girlfriend until gay marriage is legalised.
In Australia.
Yeah. Now, as much as
I love it.
As much as I love my wife, I wish I'd have thought of it sooner. It'd have saved me a lot of money.
I love it. I think it's brilliant.
You should have picked some...
He sounds like one of your dinner party guests, Tim.
He complained to the referee, didn't he, about homophobic abuse being dished out by a rival player
sounds like such hard work.
He's a hero.
He chained himself to a digger as part of a protest against a Maules Creek coal mine in New South Wales. So there was some protesters going there, and he turned up and chained himself to a digger.
What do you want me to say about this?
Andy's an unbelievable rugby player.
Now we're talking. We can talk about his rugby, and that's all. That's all I'm prepared to talk about.
The best thing about the Hooper-Pocock combination is a portmanteau that I saw today for the two of them, which is pooper. So if anyone's got any better rugby portmanteaus than that, please let
us
know.
Good.
People say sport and politics shouldn't mix, but I like it.
No, they shouldn't mix, mate. They really shouldn't.
He keeps chickens in his back garden, grows his own fruit and veg, and...
It's a bit like you, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's ignited a debate about homophobia in Australian society. I think he's a top bloke. But let's do what we did with England Wales and go through the starting lineups and pick a combined 15. We can rattle through this. So in the front row, then you got to go Joe Marla,
Moore, and Kepu.
Well, yeah, because it's not going to be Youngs, is it? And Kepu over
Cole.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. So, in the row, who do you pick? We've got Launchbury and Parling.
Playing Kane Douglas and Rob Simmons.
Yep.
Kane will believe me later. D-mum try second half. You're in trouble.
It's an athletic second row, that. I would probably pick Launchbury Simmons.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Launchbury seems to be coming back into... some form now, so I don't think I disagree with that.
Fardy or Wood?
Fardy's very good.
Yeah. And Wood sometimes just disappoints. And it felt to me a little bit like he lost his head in the Wales game, and in the Fiji game to a certain extent. Lots of little indiscretions.
You could move Rob Shaw to six.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'd be tempted to do is play
Morgan at eight.
Morgan at eight with Hooper and Pocock six and seven.
Yeah, done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Then you've got a real ball carrier in Morgan.
And done.
Hooper and Pocock do everything.
Have we spoken about Easter yet?
I'm really happy about that. I think that makes sense having him on the bench. He's the replacement. He's the next number eight in line.
Yes, he is.
And Morgan, with his fitness concerns, injury concerns, you need someone who can do a proper job.
I've gone on record. I think he's a superb player, brilliant bloke, great businessman. But I rate other people above James Haskell.
He's not an eight.
Yeah. No, I'm not even. I'm talking about him as a flanker.
Yeah, yeah.
I would rather have Easter on the bench than Haskell. I don't like.
And you got a second row cover.
Wouldn't it be good if the England bench had someone else who was capable of playing international back row?
Wouldn't it? Like
someone who was capable of playing a six, real high caliber six, maybe six and cover 12.
Wonder if we're going to unearth one of those.
Cover 12, but like a real outstanding six.
I'd be disappointed if that person that could maybe play 12 and also cover in the back row, I'd be disappointed if that was there in place of someone who had maybe a creative spark that could open up a game if we really needed to try and win it in the last minute.
Yeah. Shame we don't have that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well. It is a shame we don't have that. Right, so back row, we've got Hoops, Pocock and Morgan. Scrum half then, Will Genya?
Is he back to form?
100%
I'd go Youngs. Genya's form has been disappointing.
Shocking.
For the last couple,
well, not shocking.
Of years.
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foley or Farrell?
I think this is tough.
Farrell. Look, I said Bigger got one over on him on the weekend, but I have a whole new respect for Farrell. I thought he played very, very well.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Closest thing to Johnny Wilkinson that England have had for a long, long time.
Faz is in. Centres, we've got Matt Gitto and Tavita Kurindrani. I think you just picked those. Both of them.
You're not going with Barrett's? Weird.
Barrett against Gitto.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good, does it? It really sounds bad. In fact, and we've got some form as well. Hasn't Gitto got back-to-back wins over a Barrett midfield?
Oh, he has. Yeah. Toulon v Saracens.
And as for Kurindrani, I know you love Kurindrani.
I do.
But I really like JJ. And a fit JJ is an X factor. Is he better than Kurindrani? Don't know.
Kurindrani is an X factor as well. Me personally, I would go Kurindrani over Joseph, but it's very, very close.
Tim?
All right, I'll go Kurindrani as well. Right, I really want you to prove me wrong, JJ. Come on, have a big game. Right, wingers, you've got Rob Horn and Adam Ashley Cooper. It's got to be AAC and Watson.
Yeah.
I would go May and Watson, to be fair. Watson, for me, is undroppable. I love him, though.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, double AC. He's the man.
He's the man at 13. I think he's a good player.
He's an outstanding winger. With more than 100 caps on the wing.
Wing
and 13.
Yeah.
But I think he's played most of his international rugby on the wing.
Okay, just put it another way, then. If you were defending, who are you more scared of? Adam Ashley Cooper or... May.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy
Johnny
with
May. If you trust someone to score when it matters and to make a tackle when it matters and to be in the right place for a kick when
definitely
it matters.
Definitely not an England player. You've got a good point.
You go for Adam Ashley Cooper every time.
All round game.
Fullback. Mike Brown or Izzy Falau? No debate.
Well, one of them has made the most meters in the Rugby World Cup so far.
Is that Mike Brown?
And it is Mike Brown. He's also beaten the most defenders in the
Izzy Falau could always
far.
Go on one of the wings.
Now I got a little bit of some people saying, Tim, I think you got it wrong on Mike Brown. I said in the wake of the Wales game that I thought he lost his head. And no, I just said he gave away, and it was a few times, and I mentioned him along with a few other England players who gave away brainless penalties. I know he had a reasonable game otherwise, but I think he lost his head. Where do you stand? Do you think I had any point at all?
He did lose his head, and he did give away a couple of silly penalties. But I still thought his overall performance was super.
Yeah, and you know,
dealing with the high ball, both him and Liam Williams were exceptional.
I love that battle. I thought they were just against each other. They were both outstanding.
Yeah.
Mike Brown. It's easy to criticise him when he gets a bit angry and he loses his head. But actually, that is what makes Mike Brown Mike Brown.
Yeah.
You take that away and you've got a fairly unathletic fullback with a medium sized kick. You know,
he's so passionate, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we spoke about the interview last week, but I love the interview as well. Get out of his face, he's just lost.
Yeah.
Mm. Let him sulk.
Australia, I'll tell you what they have got, is a lot of depth, because their backs that they can bring off the bench, Phipps, Tamua and Beale, versus Wigglesworth, Ford and Burgess.
Australia have got not necessarily more talented players, but more consistent players.
Oh, I do think they have more talented players in the
backs.
Yeah,
probably actually.
But
yeah,
by a mile, because I was just actually as you were talking, I was going right. Think of an outside centre we could have picked in the squad that...
Elliot Daly.
Elliot Daly is the only one.
A replacement for JJ.
Never, not capped internationally in a full senior test match.
Yeah, no, but I haven't seen him have many bad games. And there's another centre you played that hadn't had a cap as well. But I can't remember his name. Oh, Sam Burgess.
Yeah. Yes.
So you know, the Australian bench does look pretty strong. Are they going to go with Quade Cooper on the bench?
Nope.
Tamua is covering 10,
I like Tamua on
10-12. His defence is superb. Yeah. He can distribute. He can kick. Like a lot of these players, like Kirtley Beale. Mm. Beale can play 10, 12, 13 wing fullback.
Well, you could write each one of the Australian backs' names on little bingo balls and just pull them out and make any number of backlines.
AAC at 15. Falau on the wing.
Beale
at 12.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Gitto 9, 10, 12.
Yeah, he's actually played international 9.
International 9.
It's pretty frightening, isn't it? I mean, I look at this and in years gone by, you'd have said, oh, England, we'll bully him up front. But I think probably one of the biggest features of this World Cup, as well as just in general the Tier 2 nations getting better, is that this haves and have-nots bullying at scrum time.
Not happening.
And like, it's not happening
well,
in the way
I
it has
suppose.
Before.
That's one of the easiest places to improve. It's a static strength contest. What's his name says?
Romanians do a lot of deadlifts.
Correct. Absolutely right. As Warren Gatland says, be the best at the jobs that require no skill. Now, I know some props say, oh, the dark arts, but really, you just got to be very, very strong. So, you know, and it's a team thing as well. If you've got a good, organised 8-man scrum, you're probably going to be okay.
So let's do this then. How do you see Saturday going, Phil? You're going to be in Twickenham. You're going to be in the East Stand.
I am.
Watching England, Australia.
I'll be nice and merry by then, hopefully.
Good. I hope you're happy and merry afterwards.
Yeah, it might need some...
Don't get violent again, not like the last game.
Might need some something to numb the pain afterwards.
The pork scratchings they sell at Twickenham are incredible. They're about £4 a bag, but they're
of course
so
they
good.
Are.
So good.
I think Australia can match England in the set piece, if not beat them in the set piece. Scrum and line out. England's line out is frail.
It's pathetic.
But providing they can get the platform, Ben Youngs and Farrell have shown that they can control the game quite well up until say 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it'll be very, very close. It's interesting that Australia, their first choice wings, Horn and AAC, are nowhere near as exciting as, say, Tamua and Henry Speight. Not Tamua. Tamani.
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 Joe Tamani,
Mike.
Great name for Australia.
Henry Speight. So they're playing a slightly more conservative back line, but it's still very talented, very good offensively, and also good defensively. I think it'll be 3 points either way. I'm edging towards Australia, unfortunately.
You know what? When you have the two teams on paper, I look at them and go, where's the most talent? And I have to say Australia.
Yeah.
But there's something in my mind that is thinking, it's going to be England. I just think they know how to beat Australia. They've done it numerous times. And they really need this win. And I think with the result that Wales had today, it's just going to give them that extra edge. And I really hope that they do have the culture needed to go out and go out and win.
As much in hope as expectation, I do think because they have no other option. This is knockout rugby, and the atmosphere is going to be incredible because everyone in that stadium knows 80 minutes and that's it. The World Cup is on these 80 minutes, and I think that they will find another level, and I'm happier with the selection for this week, and I think they're going to do it.
Just quick,
I think they'll win.
Quick question. What went wrong after 60 minutes on against England Wales? Just very briefly.
Very briefly, Ben Youngs got injured.
But the Welsh injuries, which allowed a scrum half to kick down the wing, I mean, yeah, that just is a freak rugby event. It really is. Because they had it covered.
But Billy Vunipola went off injured.
Laws went
Ben
off.
Ben Youngs went off 9.
Yeah, but Tim, just think about it.
Injured.
Just think about it. Wales had 2 fly halves and 2 nines. And one of the nines is on the wing and he puts through a grubber kick. Which
The 9 and 10 didn't change. The 8, 9, 10 didn't change in your game.
No. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making, it was just a complete freak rugby event.
But you're ignoring the point I'm making, which is that the 8 and 9, there was enforced changes.
Well, I don't think that made a difference.
The 8, 9 and 10 all changed because
Farrell went to inside centre. So there you go. That's it. 8, 9, 10.
What do you think would have happened differently if your 8, 9, 10 didn't change?
We'd have won.
How?
Controlling the game, more stability, tempo increases.
That is the heart of a team.
I just think it's a completely freak occurrence that a scrum half on the wing decided to do a crossfield grubber. And the other scrum half picked it up.
That wasn't what. The tide completely swung after that 16. Yeah. I rewatched it.
We'd have been maybe 15 points ahead instead of just 10 points ahead.
I do agree. I think that was the big thing. The tempo, the whole. Direction of the game changed from that point, and that is a valid argument for why it happened.
Let's talk about some other rugby because there's plenty more,
and we've got
a couple of pretty tasty matchups. This is a big one. This one, Samoa Japan on Saturday. Oh, actually, firstly, of course, Friday night, New Zealand Georgia.
5-point win for New Zealand.
Thanks so much for coming, Georgia, and hope you have a good time playing against the world's best.
We'll see some heroic scrimmaging, heroic defence, but it will be 5 points to New Zealand.
Yeah, Samoa Japan on Saturday in Pool B.
Big game this. This is a very big game.
This is a massive game because both of them have a legitimate chance of getting out of the group.
Do they?
Yeah.
Of course. Sorry, I'm thinking of Tonga. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's have a think about this now.
I think the South Africa game might have been the emotional roller coaster for Japan, and I think Samoa.
Have Samoa played Scotland? They haven't, have they?
No, not yet.
No, I think Samoa will win.
I happen to think that as well.
I think Japan, they're well rested. They've not played
for
9 days, maybe, since last Wednesday against Scotland. And they are very well organised, which is something that Samoa don't always have. So I'm going to say Japan to win this.
That'd be brilliant.
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right.
And then this is a big one as well. South Africa against Scotland.
Could well be to top the group.
To top the group and face potentially England and Wales. Well, it will face England.
England, Wales,
really
or Australia.
Everyone's trying to avoid New Zealand in the semi-finals, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why you want to finish top of this pool.
Although, take your medicine early. I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to say Scotland. For all the stick that I've given Scotland... Oh, hang on, no, not yet. Not yet. Is Finn Russell playing?
No.
Right, give me South Africa. Take it back. Give me South Africa.
Is Finn Russell out?
Duncan Weir is playing at 10.
South Africa, then.
South Africa.
This is interesting. So, South Africa, Jean de Villiers is out.
Yep.
It was basically four names put in the hat to replace him as the captain. Mm-hmm. If Robshaw went out, hypothetically, who would be next in line for England? You'd have to say Tom Wood.
Yeah, Tom Wood.
But after that,
Haskell.
Cipriani?
I'd probably say Ben Youngs, but
yeah,
South Africa had Matt Field. Skalkberger, Dwayne Vermeulen, and Fourie Dupree, who they eventually picked. Which
I was say, who did they pick?
And then, Dupree.
And then you've got guys with experience like the Duplessis brothers in the front row. What experience they've got.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huge amount of experience. Wow. Even someone like Willie LaRue.
Yeah.
Great. And Habana. 100 plus caps again on the wing.
Tell you what, Scotland they're without winning. Finn Russell are a shadow of their form,
they're
of
winning.
Former self.
South Africa are winning.
Yes, and they've got our favourite centre pairing back.
Yep.
D'Alandi and Jesse Creel.
Which makes which would make Samoa Scotland a shootout if Samoa win. So
crikey,
we'll keep our eye on that one. And on to Sunday, Argentina Tonga. That's an interesting one. I think Argentina will do enough there.
Yeah, Argentina.
Yeah, I think so. I think Argentina. I thought they'd struggle with Georgia. How wrong I was.
Yeah.
So I think they'll make short work of them. Actually,
they'll do that at a canter.
Yeah. And it's next weekend before Ireland get a real test because Ireland play Italy this weekend.
Come on, don't make us waste over a decade on your development and not do anything in this World Cup. I'll be furious.
Do we know if Parise is going to play?
He's out of the World Cup, no?
No, he was out with the first couple of games with the hematoma that was drained.
Parise is that important that even if he left the squad, they wouldn't replace him?
No, I wouldn't.
Just in principle.
How can you replace him?
Exactly.
Oh, that brings me to a point from last week's pod.
Go on.
You asked two questions, and you said, oh, I bet Phil would know the answer to this. When I was listening, I was lying by the beach in the Muscat Dive Centre, which was lovely, by the way. Listening, I was shouting out. The question was, if a player is replaced due to injury, can they come back later in the tournament? And they can't. If someone is replaced due to injury, for example, Billy Vunipola, he is now permanently out of the tournament. Even if he made a miraculous recovery, he cannot return to the squad because he's been excluded through injury. The other one was the qualification for the next World Cup.
Yes.
And I've looked through the rules. So the top three from each pool automatically qualify.
Yep.
That's 12 teams. There's nothing that I can see that guarantees top-tier nations.
I thought that. And I'll tell you why I thought that. Because Ireland qualified one year. Keith Wood had to go to Siberia to play Russia.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, they've not changed the rule. But looking at the groups, the pools, all of the top tier nations should fill occupy those top three spaces.
Which kind of goes back to what I said about Fiji, which is they're going to give some people fits when they rock over to Germany or whoever they've got to qualify against.
Well, because it's done region by region, yeah. Isn't it? So they'll go to like
Papua New Guinea or
yeah, somewhere.
Mind you, they've got a good rugby league team, so
they'll probably do all right. Papua New Guinea. There'll be a few like American Samoa where there's 45,000 people on the island.
Just an air base with a few Marines on it.
Daniel Jones has tweeted us. You can get us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, who says that the Canadian Blazers are now getting a shout out in the commentary. Now, we happen to know that Nick Mullins was commentating on Canada against France. We also happen to know Nick Mullins listens to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Sorry, the great Nick Mullins.
The top broadcaster, Nick Mullins. We know he listens because he tweeted a recommendation for anyone to listen to the podcast in the days when there's no rugby to tide over the gap, and we're very grateful for that, and we love having you on board. And we complimented Nick Mullins in the past on how he respects Stash and doesn't mind. And we said, more, please, we want more.
and
there you go, Canadian Blazers are getting mentioned as well.
And the other thing that we want from Nick Mullins is more analogies, please. We haven't had enough Mullins analogies. Trying to stop a rolling ball of barbed wire is my personal favourite. That's in relation to Sonotti Sonotti.
Yes, and red Canada Blazers. They are amazing, though. They do look brilliant.
Who on Twitter put out the England comeback? The question for what could you call an England comeback?
I did that one.
So it's South Africa coming back from the Japan defeat to smash Samoa was called the Boklash. I want a name for what we will call Saturday night when England heroically beat Australia. I came up with Rose Erection, but that just sounds a bit rude.
It is a bit dodgy.
How about Twicker Scam?
Twicker Scam.
You've all been ripped off.
My favourite, someone said on Twitter, was the Rob Shaw Shank Redemption.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was brilliant.
And Angus McIntosh says, and I know Phil will appreciate this one, just watched, and he said this minutes ago, he said, just watched France-Canada, and Jamie Cudmore is a beast. A beast in every facet, a model human being. Cue the Brokeback Mountain music.
I've unplugged it, sorry, Tim.
Oh, well. Jimmy Garrigan says, come on, the World Rugby need to buy the Tier 2 nations a kicking coach each, and then it'll be even closer still.
Yeah, all you need to do is clone Johnny Wilkinson. 20 Johnny Wilkinsons and hand them out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Dish them out.
Dish them out.
Right, listen, I also want to mention, because we've got a fantasy ESPN Fantasy Rugby League that is going on, and Gavin Doyle has pointed out that a team called Three Cheers for Sirelli Bombo has just broken into our top 10.
Which is
Gavin's team. Bit of magic there from Sirelli Bombo. Cheers for Sirelli Bombo.
Three cheers. Very good.
Well done.
Who is winning our league?
I can tell you.
And where are you two?
Way down.
About 100th, 120th out of.
I was doing so badly, I've almost just gone, wow, I'm just going to give up. So, but while Phil's just working that out, let me just say that we will be announcing the winner of our DHL competition. They are the official logistics partner of the Rugby World Cup and kindly gave us two tickets to Twickenham to see Australia against Wales on Saturday the 11th of October. So listen out to our podcast this weekend. I'm at the NFL on Sunday, so I'm not going to be podding post-England game. So JB and Phil and Bryn Williams we'll be announcing the winner. So make sure you download the podcast, subscribe on iTunes, download the Acast app and listen there. And if you have entered, and we've had some brilliant entries, and thank you very much, if you have entered with your telling us your story, your worldwide rugby moment, then we could be telling you that you have got tickets for Twickenham. So
I've got to say, it's a very hard competition because it's quite hard to quantify. You can't say, you know, it is hard to score them. But I've really enjoyed reading them. I mean, there's some awesome ones.
Some great ones.
There's some great ones. Well, listen up, we'll have a few of the best, and we read every single one. We'll have a few of the best, and we will announce our winner at the weekend. And ESPN
Fantasy. So we announce it on the Sunday pod, yeah?
On the Sunday pod, yeah. So that'll be post-England's resurrection. That really doesn't sound good.
Straight out of Zoot is top of the league.
Well done.
Sam Wilkinson.
Good work, Sam.
Currently top. 11 points ahead of Suck My Pocock.
any other good names? I like the names. That's my favourite bit. Three cheers for Sir Ailey Bombo.
I didn't realise this. I didn't realise there's a whole subculture of people that play fantasy sport. And the whole thing is about naming teams. I had no idea. I didn't play fantasy sport.
That's an essential part. It's like if you had adult movies, not that I watch any, obviously.
No.
But if you had adult movies without the puns, it wouldn't be right, would it?
Well, strangely enough.
It's got to be like, in Diana Jones and the Temple of Poon, for example.
that's fairly crude. I quite like Exeter Gently.
It's not right without the puns and without the good team names.
Yeah. Well, I don't really play fantasy sport because I don't think it's right for me to play a competition where my knowledge can be quantified because it leaves me very exposed.
How can you possibly quantify all of that knowledge you've accumulated over the years,
Jay? Very good answer.
Good pod. Thank you very much for listening. At Rugby Podcast, you can find us. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen on Acast. And nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Three cheers for JB.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Three cheers for Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Very good.
Very good. Very good. Well done.